The following program carries an age restriction of 6 to 69.
You're listening to the PCJ Media Network. And whether it's the working week or indeed the weekend, this is...
Finally, Friday!
The Saturday Special. Roller. Rally.
Hello there and welcome to Finally Friday, coming to you today, as always, from Cape Town in South Africa. I'm Neil Hendrickson. Many thanks for joining me for the show today. It's great to have you along for the Finally Friday Rock Roundabout. Today, featuring a bit later in the program, a look back at the first 2 weeks of the 2010 Football World Cup, taking place right here in South Africa, producing thus far a number of surprises and talking points, and a Sunday tabloid back page bar from the past. And part one today of the Finally Friday Rollout Rock Rally, consisting of some classic rock music and rock music only. So kick back, chill out, welcome to the Rollout Rally part one. It's Finally Friday.
I
scoffing their way through the sweet leaf, Black Sabbath from the Master of Reality album of the early 70s. You're listening to the Finally Friday Rollout Rock Rally, which will continue for the next few weeks. Finally Friday is soon to be taking a break. I received some news, shall we say, which as of necessity dictates that the show is to take a break. And as things stand at the mo for an undetermined period. So new or fresh editions of Finally Friday, the Rollout Rock Rally, can still be heard, as always, for the next few weeks, to the end of July or thereabouts, via audio stream on pcjmedia.com or live365.com or via podcast from radioforall.net or by subscribing to iTunes. Or you can listen to the current or any of the archive shows at the Finally Friday show page of the PCJ Media website at www.pcjmedia.com/finally-friday. There at the bottom of that show page are the shows from the last 10 weeks or so. Just click on the show you want to hear and your media player will automatically open and commence playing. Those earlier shows, of course, comprise solid gold pop favorites, while the Rollout Rock Rally, as promised, is classic rock only, and only classic rock. So let's rock on with a really cool, typically Jimmy Page, bluesy Led Zeppelin guitar number from the Led Zepp 3 album, and this one from that classic Jethro Tull album of 1971, Aqualung, Cross-Eyed Mary.
Would be a poor man, a beggar man.
Saturday special. Roller. Rally.
Better for the children, too. since I've been loving you, yeah.
I'm sick.
the Led Zeppelin 3 album, Since I've Been Loving You. And before that, from back then in 1971, when Jethro Tull consisted of that really great sounding collective of Ian Anderson, creator and ever-present member of Jethro Tull, Martin Barre on lead guitar, Jeffrey Hammond on bass, Clive Bunker on drums, before the great Barrymore Barlow came into the group on drums, and John Evans on keyboards. And they're one of my all-time favorite groups, Jethro Tull, so you can be sure you'll be hearing more of them in coming weeks here on the Rollout Rock Rally on Finally Friday. Now, a quick diversion from the Rollout Rally to look back at the Football World Cup thus far. Well, despite Bafana Bafana, South Africa becoming the first host nation ever not to progress past the first round of the competition, World Cup fever continues unabated here in South Africa as the tournament progresses. Among the talking points at this year's finals have been the Vuvuzela, and I must say the Vuvuzela is going to be staying for sure, but from my point of view, the softer it becomes, the better. I'm convinced that racket must have an adverse effect on the players. Do you know that the volume of the Vuvuzela was measured? And the sound of one Vuvuzela was compared to that of a chainsaw. Now, surely that kind of din has to affect any sportsperson's performance. Yeah, the Vuvuzela. Bless its creator, it certainly will be one of the enduring memories of this 2010 World Cup. And then, of course, there's the Jabulani ball, the newest FIFA-approved official ball of world football, meant to be the roundest and thus the truest bouncing ball ever. Well, that may well be the case, but over the years I've watched plenty football and played soccer when I was much younger, of course, and I reckon that Jabulani ball bounces and moves through the air way differently to previous incarnations of the humble football. It seems to be just too light, and that combined with the altitude of the various venues on the Rand in Gauteng and beyond further north, where most of the matches have taken place and are still to take place, it often appears as if the Jabulani ball is lighter than a plastic soccer ball, and the goalkeepers have found it extremely difficult to judge the flight and velocity of shots directed at their goals. Although it would appear, as the tournament has progressed, for the outfield players, as goes them, they seem to be getting more used to the bounce of the Jabulani ball, and the number of goals scored has increased as the tournament has moved along. That the Jabulani ball. And then dodgy refereeing decisions, or in some cases just plain bad refereeing decisions, and teams who have suffered on the receiving end of some of these are notably South Africa, as well as Italy. Still a big part of world football, this, the human error factor. Then, the more serious perhaps, the lack of adequately tight, as befits such massive international events these days, security at the venues. What happened here was that the World Cup organisers had appointed a particular security firm to handle all aspects of security around the World Cup, and at the last minute they pulled out, and an entire contract-awarded security company and its thousands of security workers pulled out. So, notwithstanding the inevitable court cases which will follow, the South African police services were then given the task of maintaining tight security for the tournament. And their security is so tight that last week an Australian television crew went to Soccer City, walked in and did a news insert on the absolute lack of security. Soccer City, the stadium which is to house the final itself and many other matches en route to the final, was utterly and totally devoid of any security. The mind boggles. These are just some of the buzz stories of the 19th Football World Cup here in South Africa. I'll look at the actual soccer performances on the other side of these. First, some more rock here on Finally Friday's Rollout Rock Rally.
in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm Neil Hendrickser, and this is BCJ Radio, broadcasting to Singapore via Gold FM from Media Corp.
Great sounds there from Curved Air from their second album, entitled Second Album, Backstreet Love, that one dedicated by vocalist Sonia Christina to anyone who's ever tried making love in the back seat of an MG. And the one we just heard, the title track from that classic audience album, The House on the Hill. To contact me, mail finallyfriday@telcomsa.net. That's finallyfriday@telcomsa.net. Which you can also do via the PCJ Media website at www.pcjmedia.com/finally-friday. Also, if you're on Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/Neil Hendrickser or facebook.com/finally-friday. Right, what's been happening here on the soccer fields of South Africa at the 2010 Football World Cup? Well, there have been some surprises, as with every World Cup. Switzerland beating Spain, Serbia beating the Germans, New Zealand drawing with Italy, and England and France doing very little right. At the time of doing this recording, Groups A and B had already been decided, and from Group A, Uruguay and Mexico progressed to Round 2, the round of 16 teams, and from Group B, Argentina, who really looked good so far, and South Korea go forward to the round of 16. So, knockout matches from here on, and those Group A winners, Uruguay, will take on the runners-up from Group B, South Korea, in Round 2, and Group B winners, Argentina, will be facing Mexico in the second round. In the other groups, which will almost be completed by the time of this broadcast, Slovenia and England or the USA look likely from Group C, Ghana and Germany or Serbia from Group D, the Netherlands from Group E, and the Dutch, like Argentina, are one of the four teams with a 100% record so far at the tournament. Besides the Netherlands and Argentina, Brazil and Paraguay also have 100% records. Along with the Dutch in Group E, it looks as if either Japan or Denmark will qualify for Round 2, while in Group F, Paraguay have looked really determined and have played some really enterprising football. And to go forward to the second round with them, it could be either Italy or New Zealand. While in the so-called Group of Death, Group G, it's undoubtedly going to be Brazil and Portugal, who entertained the footballing world in Cape Town the other night at the Greenpoint Stadium, beating the hapless North Koreans 7-0. Group H will see Chile progress, as well as either Switzerland or Spain. And by the time this is broadcast, all these first-round ties would have been played, and we'll be looking forward to the knockout football of Round 2. Another feature of this World Cup so far is how well the South American nations have fared, and conversely how poorly the African nations have performed. And the Europeans have struggled, as I thought they would, not only because of the particularly long, tiring European football seasons, but also because of the vast differences in altitude, humidity, climate in general between the various centres of South Africa, something which was already evident to European players back in the 60s and early 70s, when South African football saw a massive influx of overseas players, particularly but not only from the UK. And from the pages of the great football publication South African Soccer through the years, 1862 to 2002, the first official history of South African football, a fantastic hardcover glossy publication authored by local soccer writer Peter Roth, I've extracted some first-hand accounts. Take a listen to these quotes. I read to you this bit, words spoken by George Mooney, who was a professional footballer in Scotland before coming to South Africa in the 60s, and first playing and then going on to manage Durban United, one of the Durban-based professional clubs. He had this to say from his home in Airdrie in Scotland. Our nearest away game was about 540 kilometres, and we went everywhere by air. We used to leave Durban on a Thursday morning for a match in Cape Town on Friday night. From there, we'd travel on to Bloemfontein with a very different climate for a match on Sunday night at Springbok Park, afterwards having a braai, which in South Africa, yeah, that's a South African barbecue, and be back in Durban by late Sunday night where the climate would again be very different. While Jim Finney, just one of the many English referees who did stints here in South Africa, he commented, "In South Africa, it's commonplace for teams to be flying off any day of the week from Johannesburg to Port Elizabeth, East London or Cape Town. There is emphatically no league anywhere else in the world like yours, as far as travel is concerned. In Britain, if clubs had to travel such journeys, the players would undoubtedly grouse. And then Willie Henderson, an ex-Glasgow Rangers and Scotland player, tricky winger, who also played football in South Africa in the 70s, he had this to say. To play well in the hot climate like Durban, you have to be really fit. And if you were not thoroughly fit, the country's climate would affect you badly. For example, said Willie, I remember playing in Johannesburg, and the first time that I ran with a ball, it felt as if somebody was standing on my lungs. And there are certainly huge differences between the Mediterranean climate of Cape Town, the hot, sticky, humid Durban weather, and the altitude of Johannesburg, Pretoria, Rustenburg, or Polokwane. And there certainly have been many instances in this World Cup already of players pulling up with cramp. What do you reckon? Whatever, let's take in some more rock here on the Finally Friday Rollout Rally. Now some 20th century music about the 21st century in the 21st century from the King Crimson album of 1969 in the Court of the Crimson King, the eclectic number 21st Century Schizoid Man.
Thank you.
Time now before I bring part one of the rollout rally to an end and our closing number today. And I'm going to be playing out with some GFR. But this month's PCJ poll leads me into our Sunday tabloid bar from the past moment here on Finally Friday. And that PCJ poll you'll find at the PCJ Media website at www.pcjmedia.com. And it is, what is the actual meaning of PCJ? And one of the options there is that PCJ stands for Prince Charles Jeers. And after reading this little snippet, I'm not certain that that isn't the correct answer to the poll. This from the book A Century of Sundays, 1906 to 2006, 100 Years of the Sunday Times, one of South Africa's leading newspapers, taken from a 1993 article when a certain telephone conversation between the good Prince Charles and one Lady Camilla Parker Bowles had been surreptitiously recorded by a paparazzi. And this conversation appeared under the heading, Schoolboy Smut of the Man Who Would Be King. Just listen to how grand the royals can be. Here's the conversation from December the 18th, 1993. Camilla says, "You're awfully good at feeling your way around." To which Prince Charles replies, "Oh, stop. I want to feel my way along you, all over you, and up and down you, and in and out." "Oh," says Camilla. "Particularly in and out," says Charles. "Oh, that's just what I need at the moment," replies Camilla. "Is it really?" says the prince. "I know it would revive me. I can't bear a Sunday night without you," says Camilla. The prince asks, "I fill your tank, do I?" Camilla says, "Yes, you do." "Then you can cope," asks Charles, to which Camilla replies, "Then I'm all right." "And what about me?" asks the prince. "The trouble is, I need you several times a week," to which Camilla replies, "So do I. I need you all week, all the time." The good prince goes on to say, "Oh, beep, I'll just live inside your trousers or something. It would be much easier." Laughing, Camilla asks, "What are you going to turn into? A pair of knickers?" To which Prince Charles responds, "Oh, beep, forbid a tampax, just my luck." And then Lady Camilla Parker Bowles replies, laughing, "You are a complete idiot." "Oh, what a wonderful idea," she ends the conversation with. And I reckon if Peter Anthony Holder's The Stuff File program was around in that week of December 1993, they both surely would have easily qualified for that week's Fool of the Week. Regal stuff from the blue-blooded royals, not so. Grand Funk Railroads, Closer to Home, live from the Caught in the Act album. Thanks so much for joining me today. Please take care. Have a wonderful weekend and a peaceful, fulfilling week ahead. And join me again next week for part two of the Finally Friday Rollout Rock Rally. As always, it'll be great to have your company. From me to you, in the words of the late, great Eddie Starts, peace, cheer, and joy. In Cape Town, South Africa, I'm Neil Hendrickson, saying cheers.